Well, Americans are fed up and tired of having their government turn their back on them, whether it's sending money to Ukraine, to a corrupt government in Ukraine, or Israel, with no strings attached whatsoever, giving out cell phones and paychecks to illegal immigrants that are pouring across the U.S. southern border, not to mention the Canadian border, which hasn't gotten much attention. Americans are wondering what the heck has happened to their country. Why are Americans paying taxes in the first place? It's a great question. That question is what Anthony Hudson asked, and he's asking that, and he asked that on social media. He's a congressional candidate from Michigan's 8th District who posted this now viral video on social media.
There's a lot of people out there that agree with not paying their taxes this year. And there's a lot of people that like to comment, you're just going to go to jail. Let's see how that works out for you. The IRS is going to come get you. You know, our government is breaking the law every day. Constitutional law exists just the same as political law. And as long as the government is taking our taxpaying dollars and they're using it to give to illegal immigration, giving them the right to vote, giving them driver's license, allowing them to buy land, allowing them to buy homes, giving them prepaid credit cards for those who live in hotels in New York, where veterans used to live in those hotels. Now they've kicked out the veterans and moved in the illegal immigrants. States like California and Illinois are allowing them to become police officers and carry a weapon while they're on duty. That's illegal. And you're not going to use my taxpaying dollars to pay for your criminal activity in this country. In order for this movement to work, everyone needs to get involved. Oh, well, they'll arrest you. No, they won't, because they won't have the money to arrest you. They can't come after all of us because we have the numbers. But when are the American people going to stop being afraid? Stop being scared. Stop being controlled. Stop being sheep. We have a right to exist in this country. And with Bidenomics kicking everybody while they're down, making it almost impossible to survive, you need to keep your money to take care of your family. Put a roof over their head. Put food on the table. Make sure you don't lose your car. Keep your cell phones turned on. Keep your internet, your cable. Be responsible, but don't be reckless. Paying your taxes right now to this corrupt, treasonous government is reckless and illegal, and it can be proved in a court of law that what they're doing goes against the constitutional law of this land. You won't get in as much trouble as you think you will. Stand up. Do the right thing. As for me and my family, we'll lead the charge. We are not paying our taxes this year. We are not giving in to the government's control. We will not be sheep. And we will not stand by idle and let them tell us what to do in the land of the free. I will be free.
And Anthony joins us now here on the show. Wow, Anthony. So that video, at least just the one on X, has been seen 2.1 million times. Then on TikTok, another 2.5 million times. And then, I mean, millions of times all across the board on Facebook and Instagram. This has really struck a nerve. Why do you think this has resonated so much, not just with the people of Michigan, but across the country?
Well, first, good morning, and thank you for having me on your show this morning. I really do appreciate that. And I just think that this is something that the American people have been fighting internally for a long time. They've been wondering, why am I paying so much out of my paycheck? Why is the government taking my money and doing whatever they want, and I don't have a say in the matter? And that really struck a nerve with me personally, because as a congressional candidate, I want to do what's best for the American people, not only in my district, but across the nation. And one of those biggest topics is taxes. And I put this video up stating that I was going to lead by example, basically. I was going to stop paying my taxes to set an example. And I did a second video where I actually tore my 1099 up on social media and in front of the people, and it also went viral. And I think people are now at the point where when their ears are open and their mind is clear and they listen to the message, it makes sense to them that, yes, our government is taking our taxpaying dollars and they are committing crimes by giving that money to illegal immigrants coming into this country, or by sending all of that funding overseas to other nations and neglecting to help the American people right here at home. So that's really the message I wanted to get across, is if we hit the government where it hurts the most, which is in their pocketbook, then they will be forced to either listen to us or change the way that they, you know, run their budget and where they're sending that money. I don't agree with giving illegal immigrants a $1,000 credit card in New York when we have homeless veterans that are out there on the streets. We should be giving that money to them. If we have it, we should be giving it to them and helping them get off the street and helping so many other areas in this country, because we, the people, are now struggling.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, one of the things that I've been fighting against for many, many years, both on this show and previously when I worked at Fox News and hosted those shows, and, you know, was the military-industrial complex, the massive, massive amount of money that goes into, you know, $800 now trillion dollar a year massive military-industrial complex budget that's then being funneled right off to places like Israel. Israel has a $200 billion surplus and a space agency. And we are sending them another $17 billion, while people in Maui can't get any help or assistance at all. The U.S. southern border is wide open. Americans are having to work two and three jobs in order to put food on the table. And prices here in the United States have risen dramatically under Biden's inflationary policies. So you're seeing this total disconnect. Now, when you're hearing from Americans, are they saying, hey, I'm scared, Anthony, if I do this, what's going to happen to me? You know, is the IRS coming? We know that Biden hired another 80,000 or so, you know, IRS agents. Are they coming after me? Am I going to go to prison if I don't pay my taxes here? That's, of course, the great fear, right? You will be locked up for the rest of your life. There's one certainty in America. It's death and taxes.
Right. You're absolutely right. And that is the biggest concern that the American people have brought to my table, is what will happen if I don't pay? Will they put a lien on my house? Will they garnish my bank account or my paycheck? And, you know, a lot of these things are absolutely possible. And I tell people, I'm not an attorney. I'm not telling you that nothing will happen. I'm telling you that if we stand together and we stand united, we have the numbers. They cannot have, they will not have the resources to come after all of us if we all pitch in together and do our part to stop the wasteful spending in our government. And, you know, just like when you go to battle, you know, there are going to be casualties of wars. But when you have mass numbers, you typically win those battles. And I think this is a battle where 335 million Americans are facing about 1,500 elected officials. There is no way that that math doesn't math up if you look at it. And yes, some people will see that consequence, but that's what the government wants. They want to make us fearful. You know, their fear-mongering tactics tell us that if you don't pay your taxes, we're coming after you. And I've read in many places that federal taxes is a voluntary system. I've read that it's illegal to be taking funds out of our paycheck like this, and that there's no legislation. We've dug into this for months, and we have not found one piece of legislation that actually states that the federal government has the right to take our taxes out of our paycheck. We pay sales tax everywhere we go. Everything we do with our dollar is taxed, whether it's shirts or shoes or hats or video games, movies, going out to eat at a restaurant. Everything you buy is taxed, and everything you make as an employee is taxed. There's got to be relief there somewhere. And I think it's been stated that the government collects over $2.5 trillion a year in taxes. There's no reason for us to be $34 trillion in debt. Just got to manage our money better and reprioritize where we spend it.
Yeah, amen. We on our show every night show the national debt clock here on our show right above our shoulder, $34 trillion, and it continues to tick up and up and up. The fastest growth ever in the American debt went from $33 trillion to $34 trillion in a matter of months under President Biden. That's the fastest acceleration in history, which is unbelievable. And it really breaks my heart. I think about, I think about myself, you know, like, oh, we're paying this big tax bill. We mail it off to Uncle Sam and it's gone in within seconds. You know, it's split second, right. Milliseconds it's being spent, probably being sent to Zelensky in Ukraine. But most, you know, hardworking Americans, this is happening to them on a, you know, on a daily basis as well. They send in their taxes. They're taxed at a 35, whatever percent tax rate. And immediately it's spent by the federal government. It's not going to their roads and bridges and the infrastructure. It's going overseas. And it's not being reinvested in the United States. I think Americans probably would feel differently, right? If, well, we're paying taxes like they do in Norway, but they've got, you know, healthcare system. Their streets are clean. There's very low crime, right? They don't have the problems. People stay there. They don't leave when they graduate high school and college in Norway. They stay. They go to work in Oslo. They want to stay there and be a part of that economy. They don't want to fly and work in New York City. They want to stay there.
That's right.
So if you saw that reinvestment and that infrastructure in the United States, maybe we'd be okay with paying these taxes, right?
I think for the most part, the people don't mind paying taxes when they're seeing the benefit of paying taxes. And, right. You know, I get a lot of stories sent to me on X or Facebook or TikTok, whatever, where people are telling me I'm a single parent to an autistic child and I've been denied benefits from our government, or I'm a, you know, two income family. We have special needs children and we can't get assistance with our children. Or, you know, I've been in an accident. I lost my job. I can't go back to work because of doctor's orders and I filed for unemployment. I don't get it because I haven't been off work long enough or this, that, and the other. And I tell people, I said, just look at those two police officers that were beat up in New York recently by those five illegal immigrants. You paid for that out of your taxes because you paid for them to get from the southern border to New York to begin with. And now They were arrested. They were released on their own recognizance. There was no cash bond set up for them. They were sent back out into society to go out and break the law again under a different name or whatever it is they choose to do. Everyone believes that these guys are on their way to New York. Do you really think they're going to come back for their court date next month? No, they're not. They're going to go change their name, get some illegal papers that show that they're no longer Rodrigo, but they are Pablo. And then we're going to know them as Pablo in another state. This is what we're paying into. This is what we are contributing to. And to me, if you were to commit a crime and I let you in my house, I could be charged with aiding and abetting, right?
Right.
We are aiding and abetting our government because we are paying them to do these things. And as long as they're going to commit crimes with our money, I think the American people should stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not contributing to your criminal activity until you want to change the way you spend our money and focus back on the American people.
The power of the purse works, you know, hit them in the money. We know this to be the case, right? We saw that with the Bud Light revolt. We've seen that with Disney revolt. Yep. We've seen this, you know, it actually works when you hit people in the wallet. And so I want to ask you about what it looks like in the congressional district, the 8th congressional district in Michigan there in the middle of the state. Of course, you've got Saginaw, you've got Flint, but you're really in the heart of Michigan there. What are the people talking to you about? I mean, how are their lives been affected over the past few years? Are they working one job? Are they working three jobs? Are they paying more for everyday items? Or are they now back to feeling like the economy is great? What does it look like there in the middle of Michigan?
Well, to address the latter, no one's thinking the economy is going back to a great status here. We have a Democratic governor and Gretchen Whitmer here. And a lot of things that we're fighting here is Whitmer passed a bill to have an EV, an electric vehicle battery plant put in Michigan that's going to cost the Michigan taxpayers $2.4 billion. And no one wants to do it because it's bringing more Chinese workers to our state instead of American workers. It only created about 120 American jobs. The rest of them were Chinese workers that will be coming into Michigan. She's also recently signed a bill for $127 million investment in electric school buses. And I don't know how much you know about electric vehicles, but in Michigan, a few weeks ago, we had minus 18 degree wind chill weather. And these buses are regulated to go about 78 miles in that type of weather. And this happens every winter here. 78 miles is probably not even a full bus route for a lot of these children. And we miss enough school as it is. I don't need our school buses to be the reason why our kids don't get picked up and sent to school. So I want to fight and rebuke that and make the American people here, make the Michiganders here understand how that is wasteful spending here in our own region. We don't need electric school buses, not to mention all the charging ports that they have to put up for these buses. The fact that some of these Teslas have been exploding in cold weather, and the cold weather kills batteries to begin with. So there's a lot of things surrounding that particular bill that we don't agree with. Housing, the state of Michigan is ranked number three in the country in the highest increase in housing in the nation. Wow. And it, I know where I live, I've seen people whose rent went from $850 a month to $1,500 a month. Wow. And it's the price gouging. And it should be illegal to have a landlord or an apartment complex or somehow go out and increase rent and take advantage of the economy and the situation, because their expenses haven't gone up, but they're making ours go up tremendously.
So you believe sort of a landlord increase commensurate with what's going on with inflation, sort of matching inflation, but not exceeding it in some sort of gouging way?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention the potholes we have here on our roads. They're big enough to swallow a Volkswagen Beetle. They just don't invest money in the highway or the infrastructure here in Michigan. When it snows and they put the salt down and the water freezes in these holes, and when it thaws out, it expands the holes. They're massive, and that causes us to have auto repairs on our cars or buy more tires than expected. We have to use that money for what the American people paid into it. If we're not using it for what it's for, then we shouldn't be paying it until the government, whether state level or federal level, can start itemizing and showing every penny they put towards these projects. And if the one thing that we don't have to prove this would be state and federal level audits. There are no audits that show where all this money is going to Ukraine. If we send $28,300,000,000, we need to be able to show $28,300,000,000 where it went, what it was used for. We're just handing it away. And they do that here in Michigan as well. We just hand it to our local government. She does whatever she wants with it. And there's no accountability for where it's going. And I think our state is declining rapidly. And people are standing up. And I tell people all the time, it's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democratic issue. It's just an issue. And it's an issue that we, the people, must stand up and face and tackle together. And when we do that, we're showing unification. We're showing that we, the people, do have the power over state and federal government, and that they do. We are reinforcing that they do indeed work for us.
Well, you might have lit a match here. Have you heard it from any federal authorities that said, Anthony, whoa. Stand back on this. You're asking people to not pay taxes. Have you heard from the feds on this? And what has been the response from just social media, people saying, are they going to do it as well? Or are you getting a lot of scared people?
No one has contacted me from the feds. And if they do, I will use my First Amendment right to tell them exactly where they can put it. You know, I'm not afraid to stand up. This is not just something for me where I have to worry about my consequences. I'm worried about the people's consequence. If we continue to do what we're doing, we will no longer have a democracy. We are leaning more and more and more towards a dictatorship in this country. Somebody has to stand up and be the tip of the sword. And that is why I joined in to the presidential race back in August of 2022. I was running for president of the United States. And then I saw the corruption. I saw how they put restrictions and guidelines on people like me or people like you to prevent us from running for that office. And then I was approached by the GOP here in Michigan. They said, listen, you can't win the presidential seat. You don't have the money. You don't have the name. But your congressional seat is wide open because the incumbent is not seeking reelection. He's a Democrat. He's not seeking reelection. We want to get behind you to turn your district red, and we will support you because we like your videos, we like your stance, and we believe that since you're only running up against one other person, you can win this fight. And getting you into Congress where you can have a say on the laws that are written, you can vote for the laws that help the people, vote against the laws that don't help the people, vote on all these topics, you could be more beneficial in Washington than sitting as president, because we all know Congress controls the laws of the land. So they persuaded me and I agreed and jumped on board. And now we're running for Congress here in Michigan, hoping to make a difference. But we could use help from all over the country. We could, we ask people from all over the country to donate, a cup of coffee, $5, $7, help us win this district and I will help you have a better quality of life in the end.
Well, the House of Representatives can controls the purse strings in the United States. And so we'll see. Tip of the spear. Anthony Hudson, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck to you there in Michigan. I think this is a fascinating movement. We'll see if it ends up like the Whiskey Rebellion and George Washington riding on horseback out to Pittsburgh to squash the I'm not going to pay whiskey taxes. Maybe Joe Biden will hop on horseback, ride out to you in Michigan.
That's right. Remember, we did this before over a tax on tea.
Right.
A tax on tea. Now we need to stand up and do it on the tax on the American people. This is much bigger than that. This is the future of our country. This is the direction we're heading. If we don't stand up now, we will never be able to put people before politics. And that's really our stance here, is putting the people before the politics in this country and helping us. We have a right to survive here. So.
Well, I'd love to hear from our viewers on this. Drop us a comment below this video. Are you planning on standing there and saying no to taxes? I'd love to hear from our viewers as well on this. Anthony, great to see you. Good luck to you there in Michigan, and thanks for sharing your message with us.
Thank you very much. And if anyone wants to go and check us out, our website is anthonyhudson2k24.com. You can go and you can see all that we're representing and all that we're fighting for. And thank you very much for having me on your show this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.
Just two shout outs. One, I want to thank Matt Schlapp for the opportunity to come here. It's been a while since I've been at CPAC, but it's a great honor to be with you, and a shout out to Pixie, it's her birthday, and I wish you were here, love. All right, now I'm gonna get really serious. Most serious 6 minutes you're gonna have, I think, probably in this whole thing, but you need to hear this. And what I'm gonna talk about is this thing called lawfare that President Trump talked a lot about today, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about it, but this is, my judgment, one of the most important things we're facing. So. What is this thing? Lawfare, partisan politics by weaponized justice means. Let's look at what's going on. Democrats, Biden, Garland, and Smith, Bragg, James, and Willis, and a sizable chunk of the radical wing of the Democrat Party not only want to stop Republican Donald Trump from retaking the White House, they want this presidential titan, and I was there when he was that titan, and providential titan who kept our nation in prosperity and out of war for 4 beautiful years. They want him to die cruelly in prison. We must face that reality. If you don't believe they may well succeed, just look at my own situation. As I stand before you on this stage, as a former high-ranking Trump official, now just weeks away from a prison cell. The parallels between my own and Trump's case are indeed striking. I am the first senior White House advisor ever convicted of contempt of Congress. Trump is the first former president ever to be criminally indicted. I was put in leg irons by armed FBI agents who far more easily could have asked for my voluntary surrender. Trump was the target of an equally unnecessary armed FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. I was indicted by the Biden-Garland Department of Justice despite a more than 50-year policy against compelled congressional testimony by senior White House officials like me. DOJ's hypocrite prosecutors would falsely argue to my jury that I had acted above the law when they knew damn well I was simply honoring the Constitution, fulfilling my oath of office, and obeying the law the Department of Justice's own Office of Legal Counsel had long articulated and supported. Now, here's the deal. Listen carefully. Trump likewise faces a dizzying array of charges and more than 700 years in prison based on equally novel and baseless applications of laws and statutes that have been tortured and twisted by partisan prosecutors. Then there is this. You must know this. Every single major actor in the prosecutions of both me and Trump are what? Democrats. Yet the Democrats and their useful partisan idiots in the legacy media, aka the fake news, want you to believe our prosecutions are not political. No, nothing to see here. In my case, a Democrat House majority held me in contempt on an overwhelmingly partisan vote. A Democrat-controlled Department of Justice indicted and prosecuted me. A heavily skewed Democrat jury right here in the District of Columbia, featuring members who had expressed anti-Trump sentiments in voir dire, convicted me. Trump, similarly, has been indicted solely by Democrats. Here's the deal. The probability of the former president getting a jury broadly reflective of the American electorate is near zero in the bluest of blue cities of where? Washington, D.C., Manhattan, and Atlanta. Then there is this, and this was a big surprise to me, the utter repudiation in both our cases of Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall's admonition that every defendant has the right to what? To a full and fair defense. By the time my case got to the jury, the judge had stripped me of every possible defense, thereby making my conviction a foregone conclusion. As my attorney said, that can't be the law, but it was in that court. I see the same process unfolding now as I follow the myriad Trump court cases across multiple jurisdictions. Democrat-appointed judges are systematically stripping away the full, fair, and rightful defenses of Trump. As I ready myself for a prison cell, my question to all of you here is this. What are you going to do as you leave CPAC to protect your own right to vote for Donald Trump if you choose? Just what are you going to do to throw those rascals out who just a few short miles away from us in the White House and on Capitol Hill and at the FBI and the Department of Injustice are doing so much damage to our economy, our border, our national security, and ultimately, you know what, our political institutions, civility, and social fabric. As we hurtle now towards a November 2024 election, where the differences between the parties and candidates are so stark, make no mistake about that, and the stakes are so high, we are indeed in the middle of a ferocious and often vicious fight where losing is not an option. For if we lose, we will surely lose this country. You know that. I know that. If we lose, we will surely lose this country. Therefore, and I'm so glad you came to CPAC, because this is the place you must get involved. In the canon of Steve Bannon, who you're about to see, what does that mean? What does that involvement mean? It means action, action, action. And both Steve Bannon's War Room and the beautiful CPAC that Mercy Schlapp and Matt Schlapp have brought to you can help show you the way in concrete ways. I'm Peter Navarro. I will see you all on the other side.
Excess deaths. We wrote methodology papers on how we calculate them. We three different methods. We prefer the second method. These can be compared to the actuarial tables from the insurance industry, which saw similar excess death in their group life policy. So these excess deaths are undeniable. What is going on currently is certain governments are now changing how they calculate these numbers. The ONS just announced a change to the calculation methodology for their excess death number, which reduces, obviously, the excess deaths because they like that result better. We suspected that might happen, so that's why we wrote our methodology papers and published them in September of 2022. And the actuarial tables that the insurance companies use haven't changed. So excess deaths are continuing. The insurance companies are seeing the same excess mortality, especially in the working age population. So these deaths are undeniable. This is, you can't hide the dead bodies, unfortunately.
So again, you publish all your information on your website. Was it One America? Was that the insurance company that's kind of the first revelation of this? Was an insurance company out of Indiana?
Well, One America, CEO Scott Davis, in a Chamber of Commerce meeting, revealed that he had seen 40% excess mortality in the millennial age group, 25 through 44, and even as high, actually for 25 through 64. And he said that's 10% increase would be once in a 200-year flood or a three standard deviation event. 40% was off the charts, just off the charts.
And we haven't really heard anything since that point in time, other than from people like you. What? Because we tried helping you get insurance data, and we were just pretty well blocked. No, the insurance company, they did not want to cooperate with us and provide us their information. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So what they're doing is, unfortunately, there's still a lot of controversy in the insurance industry where a lot of people don't even want to look at the vaccine issue. A lot of these CEOs mandated, got the jab themselves, who are in a state of denial. They have raised prices in group life policy, so the losses are less now. Losses will be coming in whole life policies due to a Byzantine accounting dynamic. So we expect to see reserves taken once they lower their long-term mortality assumptions or raise their long-term mortality assumptions, I should say. And we'll see losses start running through their P&Ls this year and next. With it, I have whistleblowers, and there's been discussions at board-level meetings about the continued excess mortality, and they dance around every issue except the vaccine. Not mentioned.
So again, you talked about an awful lot of numbers, but my big takeaway is that what you found out is in working age population, there was just an extraordinary increase in excess deaths and disabilities starting in 2021. Not 2020 during the pandemic before we had a vaccine, but after the vaccine rollout. I mean, is that pretty much your conclusion?
That's correct, and that's my thesis as to why the vaccine causes. There was a huge mix shift from old to young starting in 21. Disabilities weren't apparent in 2020. And if you look at the disability numbers, and you can drill down into them, the rate of change for the employed in our country in disabilities between 2021 and 2023 was 38%. So that was a rate of change increase of 38% versus the general U.S. population, which has been 9%, and not in labor force, only 4%.
So I encourage everybody to go look at his data, and it's indisputable, basically. So thank you, Mr. Dowd.
Thank you.
My husband owns a gun shop, and he just called me to tell me that the ATF has made updates to their background check policy, and effective today, they give an exemption to illegal immigrants to be able to purchase firearms. Now, this strangely coincides with California, New York, and Chicago making it legal for illegals to be police officers. Tell me our government isn't about to pull some shenanigans without telling me our government's about to pull some shenanigans.
Joining us now is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, a Fox News contributor. Newt, Trump isn't pro-Putin, isn't it all the is pro-Putin strategy? Isn't it all a little tired at this point? Are the American people buying any of this?
Well, let me say, first of all, I thought your interview last night was terrific and that you did a great job of drawing out of Trump a number of observations and a tone, which was as good as I think I've ever seen him. So I really commend you for last night's town hall meeting. But let's be honest about where we are, because it's, I think, very frightening. You have a Biden administration failing in the Middle East. You have a Biden administration which collapsed in Afghanistan. You have a Biden administration which in 2 years has not come up with a strategy for winning in Ukraine. And the world's getting dramatically more dangerous. And in the meantime, you have a Secretary of State who thinks one of his most important jobs is to send out a letter reminding all of the State Department employees to worry about their gender and to put their appropriate gender name with their emails. I mean, this is an absurdity. They have to attack and lie about Trump because the truth will destroy them. The truth is that they're undermining Israel at this very moment. The truth is that they failed totally to intimidate the Houthis, who hit three ships in the last couple days. They failed totally to intimidate the Iranians, who continue to expand their terrorist operations across the Middle East. They have absolutely failed to figure out a strategy to stop Putin. And let me say, I warned as early as 2014 during the Crimean fiasco, when Obama collapsed totally, that sanctions don't work against Putin. Putin is as former Secretary of Defense said, Bob Gates said, he is a stone cold killer. He's a KGB trained operative. And you have to deal with him at that level of toughness. And the idea of Joe Biden trying to deal with Putin is silly. Donald Trump was right last night when he told you he's the one who sent real weapons, which Obama, remember, Obama wanted to send them meals ready to eat and sleeping bags and non-lethal things. Trump actually sent real weapons to Ukraine. Trump actually cut off the Russian pipeline. Trump was much tougher. And then Biden comes along and goes back to appeasement, and the appeasement fails. And I'm confident that Putin has total contempt for Biden.
Now, one of the things that I thought about last night when President Trump was answering these questions was, it's easy to come out and say, you know, Putin's a war criminal, Putin's evil. That's easy, right? But I think what he's thinking is, I may have to broker or help broker or encourage a negotiated settlement between that guy and Zelensky. If I'm president, and so I think he's thinking ahead. He's not a politician, so he's not going to just come out and blurt out, contrary to what they think, you know, oh, he's a killer. That doesn't get you anywhere. I think he's thinking February of 2025, what is he going to be dealing with Putin? Do you agree with that?
Well, look, I mean, he's been very clear about this, that he believes that he can negotiate from a position of absolute strength and can convince both Ukraine and Russia, meaning Putin, that they need to get to a truce. Here's the problem for the Ukrainians. They're not going to beat Russia. We can provide them lots more weapons. They can lose a lot more people. But if this goes on for two or three or four more years, it's really a tragedy. And I think what Trump's trying to think through is, how do you end this without strengthening Putin? And how do you end this so Ukraine survives as an independent country? That
not
is
easy.
A long way from the rhetoric of Joe Biden.
And Newt, just before the show, we learned that the Biden administration is considering, I guess more seriously now, an executive action on the border. A source telling Fox Business's Ed Lawrence that it would restrict the ability of migrants crossing the U.S. border illegally to get asylum. Wait a second, Newt. I brought this up with Trump, too, last night. Wait, they said they had no executive authority. This is wild. They are really flailing from Russia collusion to now they're Trump on the border. Okay.
Let me just say bluntly, it's all a lie. This is an administration dedicated to keeping the border open, dedicated to allowing thousands of Chinese males of military age to cross the border, dedicated to allowing a Venezuelan gang that's very violent, which we saw beating up New York policemen. I don't know why they're so passionate about keeping the border open. They could have agreed to a border deal with the Congress, and they could have gotten aid to Israel and to Ukraine in a package. And the border to them, keeping it open and keeping illegal immigrants flowing into the U.S., was more important than helping Ukraine and Israel.
Newt, always great to see you. Thanks so much.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
Okay, well, for right now, as of Friday night, February 16th,
we don't
officially know.
Ann Coulter was on Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday night. And you guys remember last week after the Super Bowl in Kansas City, there was a shooting at the parade. And it was known basically that day that it was a couple black guys that did the shooting. There were pictures floating online and everything else. Bill Maher's show is on Friday, so there were a couple days out there where we kind of all knew it, but the mainstream media just ignored the story because the mainstream media doesn't like stories where black people shoot people. They love stories where black people get shot. So Ann Coulter went on Bill Maher's show and talked about that sort of inconsistency, let's say, when it comes to the media.
I mean, we don't know who did this shooting, by the way, the Super Bowl shooting.
We have some idea.
What?
If it were a white man shooting, we'd know.
Well, we don't know. But
how we know it's not a white man. I can tell you that much.
But you think they're repressing that reporting?
They wouldn't tell us about the transgender woman that shot up the Christian school for what, like a year? San Bernardino out here. Remember the crazy terrorist Muslims? That's when I first noticed. They're not telling us who it is. It's not a white male. The longer they go without telling you, it's not a white male.
Okay. Well, for right now, as of Friday night, February 16th,
we don't
officially know. Okay. You know, you have special powers.
All right. The point is, we did know. I mean, there were pictures basically immediately. Here's TMZ. Moments before shots fired, teens facing off in heat and exchange. So yeah, it was two black guys. Nobody's debating that. I don't know how that information didn't get through to Bill on that. But it's not even about that. What it's really about is what Ann is saying, that the media likes certain narratives, and if things fit the narrative, you run with it, and they don't like other narratives. That's why, can we get the numbers on how many people were shot in Chicago this weekend? That's why it does not matter. Whatever number Brock's about to tell me, you will not hear any of these young black people's names because they will have been shot by other black people. That's just fact. What? 21 people were shot in Chicago this weekend. How many people were killed? 4 killed. How come you don't know any of their names? You get the point. Anyway, Anne continued.
Media who do not care about blacks killing blacks. And this is the one time where I think, I mean, you always hear, pretty white girl, oh, they'll cover that. No, the blacks killing blacks will not get covered by the media. That's a huge media problem. And you'll all laugh at me, but I'm going to say it because I'm right.
Very right.
The cause of this
far right.
is illegitimacy. All of these young men do not have fathers. And that is a huge, huge source of it. Anything that could be done to reduce the illegitimacy rate, particularly among the black community, it would be astronomical, the changes you'd see. Do you know, just one fact, if you take away the factor of illegitimacy, the difference in the black and the white crime rate disappears.
You know,
it's an amazing fact.
It would be an amazing fact if it were true, but you know,
it is a big part of it.
Listen,
look, everything that Ann said there was true, and we do know that the fatherhood issue and what then gets people caught in generations of welfare and everything else, we do know that this is the problem, right? Thomas Sowell has been writing about this for 50 years, basically. Many other people have. Van Jones, you can see he doesn't know what to say. He's being confronted with the truth, and he's a CNN guy, so he doesn't get the truth. It doesn't, permeate his force field that often. So then he just has a glib line, like, oh, it would be good if it was true. And then the audience, a bunch of, bah, 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 throw us some fish, throw us some fish.